This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show. Glad you're joining us on this Sunday morning. I'm Jason Laidler, here with my world-famous co-host, Ted Walshen. Good morning, Ted. How's it going?
Good morning, Jason. I'm well, thank you so much. And how about yourself?
Yeah, likewise. Getting into the Christmas spirit, I have to admit.
Yeah, it's been, you can feel it in the air, you know, as you head out. It's more and more decorations in the houses.
Tons.
In the stores and more television sort of geared toward Christmassy things. And the food, I watch a lot of the Food Network. They've got a lot of various cooking competitions going on now based on holiday foods and cookies and things like that. Yeah. So you can feel it. It's creeping up.
Will you be having a turkey?
For Thanksgiving?
Christmas.
Or for Christmas, I should say. Yeah. No, because this year, because of everything that's going on in Ukraine, the two religious organizations in Ukraine, the Ukrainian Orthodox and the Ukrainian Catholic, have decided that they're no longer going to celebrate Christmas in January, because that's when Russian Orthodox celebrate Christmas, so they want to distance himself as far as possible from Russia, and so they're going to the calendar that most other people use, the Gregorian calendar, and so we'll be celebrating on Christmas Eve on December 24th this year for the first time in my life. And Christmas Eve is a traditional meal of 12 courses, and they're all meatless.
Yeah, you've talked about that before, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of food, Ted.
Yeah, but then the next day, Christmas Day, there'll be plenty of meat.
All right. Well, I wanted to mention tomorrow, the 11th of December, is an anniversary, which I was not, I have to admit, not familiar with until I did a little bit of digging. Are you familiar with the Statute of Westminster, Ted?
No, can't say that I am.
Okay, quick history lesson here. Statute of Westminster, 1931. I was trying to figure out if we would have listeners listening to the show this morning who were here in 1931. I think we probably do, but probably not anybody who remembers, who's old enough to remember this event, where the statute of the Parliament of the United Kingdom that affected the equality of Britain and the then dominions of Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Ireland, and interestingly, Newfoundland. So the statute implemented decisions made at British imperial conferences in 1926 and 1930. The Conference of 26 in particular declared that the self-governing dominions were to be regarded as autonomous communities within the British Empire, equal in status, in no way subordinate one to another in any aspect of their domestic or external affairs, though united by a common allegiance to the Crown and freely associated members of the British Commonwealth of Nations. Lastly, the statute itself recognized the sovereign right of each dominion to control its own domestic and foreign affairs, to establish its own diplomatic corps, and, except for Newfoundland, to be separately represented in the League of Nations. So it was a big deal.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that either. So,
well, that's probably because when we went to school, most of our history textbooks were printed in the United States.
I guess, yeah. Well, it's too bad. That's I think that's an important little piece of history. So that's what you get when you tune into the Avoid Probate Show, along with some information about probate and avoiding it, of course.
Well, hopefully most of it is based on that. And this stuff that we do at the beginning of the show is just sort of warm up.
Yeah, because it is early on a Sunday morning. And let's face it, probate, the subject matter is not exactly exciting or entertaining. You know, and I've told this story before. We've had some comments from listeners saying, you know, you could make the show a little bit more entertaining. And I just said, no, I can't. I'm not having clowns and balloons. And, you know, when we're talking about a serious matter, the probate process, which obviously is surrounded by the death of somebody, right? That's when probate matters. It's the only time probate matters is after somebody's passed away. So yeah, it is what it is, but it's good information that we're providing here every week. And we're certainly trying to save people a lot of trouble and stress. And we'll expand on that throughout the hour, of course, especially when after this next break, this first break, we have Debbie Stanley providing her weekly update with solving the probate puzzle update. And we're going to touch on that, of course, like we do every week. What else is happening today, Ted?
Well, you know, I was saddened to hear earlier this week that Norman Lear had died. Norman Lear was he was a groundbreaking producer in television. He brought us all in the family and Maude and the Jeffersons, and he was way ahead of his time dealing with topics that many people considered to be taboo and untouchable, and he brought humor to them and opened up a lot of people's eyes. There was a lot of controversies, especially at first when he started All in the Family, which went on to becoming a massive success and spawned so many different hit shows, as I mentioned, like Maude and the Jeffersons, etc.
Yeah,
Norman Lear was 101. Wow. And I remember watching an interview with him a couple of years ago, and he was approaching 100 at the time, and he was pitching an idea for a television show, but he couldn't get any of the networks to buy it. It was a show about a retirement community called Guess Who Died?
Really?
Yeah, which is a common conversation starter amongst the very old people in the community when they call each other, Guess Who Died?
Maybe they'll get picked up after all.
Yeah, and he couldn't sell it to anybody. But I thought it's unfortunate. But there's a guy with sharpest tacks, and that was about a year and a half ago. I saw that, I guess. And he passed away on, Wednesday morning, I heard the news. So that's a shame.
Yes.
But that's good life, 101 years.
I was going to say.
No doubt about that.
101, can't complain about that.
Yeah, you got it.
We are going to talk about something we've never talked about today on the show, which we're going to talk about later. And it has to do with a new savings vehicle called the FHSA. I'm not going to tell you what that stands for. I'm going to leave you and the listeners hanging. You have to come back and listen to the show and learn about this new FHSA. The A stands for account, FHS account, and what's unique about it and why you need to know about it potentially. Of course, it's the week. Every other week we've got Jerome Trail in, so the broker is in, which means we'll get an update from Jerome with regard to interest rates and the recent non-change, I guess you could say, and how that might be affecting you and your investments and your life. And lastly, as usual, the ever-popular email bag. So, jam-packed.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's go to that first break I was talking about a minute ago. We'll come back right after this, and we'll get busy on the Avoid Probate Show.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this. This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Avoid Probate Show, and as usual, we invite you to send in your questions and your comments. You can do so in two different ways. You could email us, info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca. Or, if you wish, you can call us toll-free, 1-844-667-7628. 828. And it is time for our good friend Debbie Stanley from ETP Canada, solving the probate puzzle. She is. Hello, Debbie.
Hello, Ted. How are you?
I'm well, thank you very much.
Hi, Debbie.
Good. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Good. Good to hear your voice again. We are not in studio this week. The listeners probably can figure that out from the different sound of the show this week. Ted's mic sounds a little tinny. Did you notice that?
Tinny?
Yeah. Anyway.
I did notice that, yeah. And today I'm not on site. I know last week you had asked where I was, and I was working out of a nursing home that day. Today I'm actually in my office dealing with paperwork. That's an exciting part of being an executor too. I'm currently on page 49 of 191 that I have to review.
What is 191 pages long?
Not investment statements.
Come on.
What? Yes. Reviewing some financials for an estate. It's not this particular estate. It's not the estate of Roxy Moots and other clients, but we have to review some of the financials. So today is a heavy paperwork reading day.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. So that's, you know, something for the listeners out there. If you enjoy reading financial statements, this is the job for you.
I was just going
to
say,
if you want to go to sleep quickly, read these.
I would actually really enjoy that. I really enjoy looking at that stuff. It's weird.
Yes, I enjoy it too. And I guess that's why I do what I do.
Yeah.
But it does take executors by surprise, which is why they end up coming to ETP Canada, because this is a big job, right?
Sure.
We've been talking about this is the reason of the show, right? To inform listeners, A, how to avoid probate, how to reduce some of the stress that families will be going through. It's a lot of work.
Yes. It's probably more work, more labor intensive than the work needed to avoid it in the first place.
Definitely. Right? Definitely. And it's longer.
For sure. Yeah. So you mentioned Roxy Moo because that's the file we're reviewing. According to my notes, we're in week 27 thereabouts, and you are acting as the executor for this client whose name's not really Roxy Moo. That's what we're calling it. And what's the latest?
So we have received the liquidation of one of the registered accounts that did not have a named beneficiary. We are still waiting on the second one. Can you believe that? It's what, mid-December, and here we are. I'm still waiting on that, which, as I mentioned, is impacting my distributions to the beneficiaries because we do have to do some tax planning before we send monies out. Some of the beneficiaries, actually all of the beneficiaries, are not Canadian. So we have money to send overseas. We have money to send to the U.S., which means there's some additional forms, paperwork, wire transfers. It's not so easy. We think it's easy to send money, but there's some planning involved. And truthfully, I was hoping to send some money before the holidays. However, it's not looking like I'll be able to do that for the family before the holidays, unless we have a little bit of a miracle come the next few days.
Well, hold on. You could send a token amount, right? I get it. You've got to withhold money for taxes and other expenses and things like that. But could you not send a token amount?
Yep. And that's what we're trying to do. It's just the paperwork that's involved and the wire transfer and getting it over. So oddly enough, it's still, even a token amount does take some sort of planning.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow,
so
it's just
hopefully,
hurdle after hurdle, eh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, the family understands, and we're dealing with a debt that was the end of May. So the fact that they would be getting a token amount this early is actually pretty good, because you do have up to a year to deal with all the assets. So I think it's important for listeners to know that if you are a beneficiary, it's not so fast to get your money. I do have people show up at my office from the funeral in their funeral clothes looking for money from an estate.
Come on.
And yeah, it's a misconception, right? We see these movies, we see TV shows, people are receiving checks. Yeah, and I think it's important to note that you do have to give the executor some time to liquidate, to do the tax planning, to not land themselves in some hot water.
Right, but contrary to that, back to what we're trying to do proactively, you know, when you book a no-charge consultation with us and we can do some of the proactive planning, then the beneficiaries will have their money inside of 3 weeks, or maybe even 2 weeks if we're really on the ball. And then when I say we, it's a partnership. It's not just the avoidprobate.ca team, because we can only operate as fast as you'll understand this. I need a death certificate as well. So if I got to wait to get the death certificate, well, then the beneficiaries also have to wait to get their money. But if I can get a death certificate, you know, sooner than later, well, then it's only a couple of weeks after that instead of, what, 27 weeks or more.
Yeah, that's a really good point about the death certificate. Everybody needs a death certificate, of course, yeah. Right? And right. Oddly enough, I have an estate where it's the new one, where I was on site last week, and I've been waiting 3 weeks for the death certificate myself. I can't do anything. So there's 3 weeks before you could do anything. So the really good point that you mentioned, the death certificate, that is the catalyst for doing anything. Well,
exactly. And it's basically all I need. But I don't understand why it takes so long, because as you know, the death, the physical part of the death gets processed very quickly, and the undertaker, prints 6 copies of the death certificate and hands it to whoever, and it happens fast. So it's just somebody's dropping the ball and not being.
Yeah. In this particular case, that's exactly what's happening. And, a little bit frustrating, but these things happen, right? You're dealing with humans, and human error happens. So that's the more reason to have that planned and cleaned before.
I have to go back and call you on something you said very casually a minute ago about having a year to deal with the assets. And I'm sure some of the listeners picked up on that. We did a show once where we spent quite a bit of time talking about what's called the executor's year. Right. And I think that's what you were referring to.
Yes.
You're going to agree, I'm sure, that it's not a hard and fast rule. It's a rule of thumb, right?
Yes. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's not a rule. It's a kindness gesture, because if you think about it, probate in Toronto is a long wait time.
Yes.
So even that, let's say for the sake of argument, it takes 4 to 6 months, and that's on the nice, generous side. Wow. That's half a year before you could even deal with the asset. So having that nice, kind, you know, I'm using air quotes here, rule of the executor's year just allows the executor to breathe and work on the estate without feeling the added pressure of having beneficiaries asking for money that they don't have to give.
So I hope that's clear to the listeners. There is an unwritten rule, sort of like Debbie says, about giving the executor a year to get things sorted out. But obviously, it can't be a hard and fast rule, because, like she said, if you're 10 months in probate, then there's just no way it's going to get wrapped up in 12 months. So.
Right. And then if you're able to give money early, like this case of Roxy Moo, where we're very, very close, I'm not withholding it just because I have a year. I am waiting for the A-OK from the accountants and the forms that we've submitted. So you're just kind of waiting for green lights from other professionals. But I want to get money out sooner rather than later. Of course, keeping in mind that there are taxes, there are other liabilities, other bills to pay. So it's a very fine balancing act when you are dealing with estate administration. And the other thing I wanted to mention as well is we're in the holiday season, right, Jason and Ted? And it's a very joyous, happy, you know, I think we talked about Christmas songs last year that were all our favorites. It was a great session. But it can be a very difficult time for families who are grieving a loss during the year. And you know, maybe a couple of years ago, and in my particular case with the estate of Roxy Moo, we're sending a few personal items overseas, and you know, they're just having a very challenging time right now. And I do want to make sure that we don't glaze right over that it's okay to feel maybe a little bit extra heavy this month, and it's okay to talk that through and look for some help and just share stories, because this can be a really challenging time of year.
Well, that's well said. Well said, Debbie. Okay.
Indeed.
Appreciate that. All right. If listeners want more information from you and your services, how can they reach you?
They can check out our website, which is www.etpcanada.ca. Our email is info@etpcanada.ca. And our phone number is 866-309-0387.
Awesome. All right. Thanks for the update. Look forward to another one next week. And I'm sure it'll be as interesting as always. Have a good week, Debbie.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Take care, Deb.
Bye.
All right. We'll step aside and come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this. This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. This is the Avoid Probate Show. Thank you so much for joining us this Sunday morning. And don't forget, the information we provide for you each and every week is for general consumption only. It's not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Every situation is different. So if you have legal or investment questions, you should speak with a licensed expert, and we have them on hand for you. Any questions, any comments, email us info@avoidprobate.ca, or you can call us toll-free, 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628, or info@avoidprobate.ca. Mr. Laidler.
Thanks, Ted. All right. As we hinted in the opening segment, we're going to cover a new topic today. It's something, when I say new, what I mean is we've never talked about it before here on the Avoid Probate Show. It is a relatively new item. And I thought, you know, at first I was reluctant to spend time discussing it because I wasn't sure it was going to, you know, fit in and apply to the majority of our listeners. But then the more I thought about it, and I'll explain why I was wrong about that. So it's called an FHS account, and it is brand new. It's been created by the federal government. And an FHS account is a tax-free savings account designed to help future homeowners save for the purchase of a qualifying first home in Canada. Mm-hmm. So it's another way, it's a new way to help first-time home buyers. And this is fallout, right, from the, you know, the ruckus and the complaints about the cost of home ownership, especially in the GTA. And, you know, the government is pretty, I'm gonna be nice, the government's trying to appease the you know, those screams, those shouts from people who are saying it's just way too expensive. Home ownership is too expensive. You know, what are you going to do to fix the problem? Mm-hmm. And of course, they're experimenting. They're talking about different new rules, you know, new anti-flipping rules and foreign ownership rules and, you know, new taxations and, you know, they're bantering all this stuff around. And this is the product of those conversations, this FHS account. FHS, first-time home buyers savings account. And it's a bit of a misnomer, because, and I'll explain this in a few minutes when I get into some of the nitty-gritty, how the account works. You don't actually have to be a first-time home buyer. If I'm not wrong, I think you just can't have owned a house in the last 5 years. And that happens, you know. Like, I know people who own a home and then for whatever reason sell it and rent for a while. Some people try to time the real estate market. You know, a friend of mine did that. He just sold, and it's not because he needed the money, or like, he was a well-off individual, but he just had a feeling it was a good time to sell at a high price, rent for a while, and wait for prices to come down, and then like he could get back into the housing market anytime he wanted to, but right. he's renting.
How's that working out for him? Because the prices of homes, you know, they have not dropped really.
That's true, but they did in 2022, if you recall. Although then they went back up. Exactly. It happens for work reasons as well, and maybe health reasons as well, and all kind, maybe family reasons. Anyway, I think it was just worth pointing out that even though they called it a first time home buyers, strictly speaking, that's not necessary. So I want to go on and explain some of the details of how this new account works. It is interesting. I do think it's clever. So combining the advantages of an RSP and a TFSA, both forms of registered accounts, and we'll talk about why that's important. The FHSA, also a registered account, as opposed to a non-registered account, the FHSA gives you a deduction that reduces your annual taxable income and allows you to generate tax-free returns, right? So we're combining these two other pre-existing types of accounts. Most people will know, although, Ted, I'm here to tell you, and I've said this many times, I'm often surprised that, you know, grown adults, seniors are still confused about how the RSP works. The RSP, the Registered Retirement Savings Plan, gives you a deduction for your contributions. It was created in 1957. The government wanted to encourage Canadians to look after themselves. The government didn't want to be taking care of you and everybody else in your retirement years. The government wanted you to take some responsibility for maintaining, you know, for looking after yourself and your family after, when you stop working. So they created this RSP plan way back in 57, like I said, with the incentive. And what was the incentive? Well, the incentive was every dollar you put inside the RSP plan to save is a dollar you do not pay income tax on. So depending on your tax bracket, that resulted in different amounts of savings for different people. If you didn't pay income tax anyway, well, then there was no advantage to making the RSP contribution. Well, except I shouldn't have said that. The dollar inside, once it's inside the plan, the growth on that dollar is also tax-free until such time as it comes out. And people will say to me, Ted, I don't believe in RSPs because you get taxed on them when the money comes out. Yeah, that's true. You do get taxed on it when the money comes out, but you're paying tax for the first time on that dollar in 30 years. You never paid income tax on it 30 years ago when you made the contribution, and you've had 30 years of tax-free growth in the meantime. So finally, 30 years later, when you've had the benefit of tax-free growth, the government's saying, okay, time to start paying tax. And you still only pay based on your marginal tax rate. You know, in theory, if you don't make any money and you don't pay any taxes, you could take some money out of the RSP and not pay tax on that either. Okay, I don't want to spend too much time on the RSP, but that's what the RSP does.
No, but you can also cash in an RSP for if you're a first-time home buyer without paying the tax on it, right? If you're putting it towards your house?
Okay, great question. You're thinking of the home buyer's plan, I think. The home buyer's plan, yes, uses your RSP, but it's a loan. It's a tax-free loan. So I could take $15,000 out of my RSP. Normally, that would be taxable because, like I said, when the money comes out of the plan, it's treated as income in that year that it comes out. But if I say, no, I'm using this 15 grand towards the purchase of a house and I'm a first-time home buyer, again, I haven't had a house within the last 5 years, then the government says, okay, that's different. That's cool. We're not going to tax you on that 15 grand that you pulled out of your RSP. However, it's repayable. And we're gonna require you to pay it back over a 15-year period of time. So that's why I use 15 grand as an example. You know, it's $1,000 a year for the next 15 years. And if you do that, we won't tax you on any of it. If you miss a year where you owe $1,000, then we're gonna tax you on that $1,000 in that year. So there's all kinds of strategies involved around that, but that's the difference. Difference is the home buyer's plan is a tax-free loan. Potentially, this FHSA plan is not a loan. It's free and clear. Because remember I said we've combined the advantages of the RSP and the TFSA. And of course, the TFSA, which stands for tax-free savings account, again, there's restrictions as to how much you can put into that. By the way, that limit's going up in the new year, again, for the second year in a row. In 2023, the limit went up $500 to $6,500, and that's going to happen again in 2024. So it's only a few weeks away. Even if you've maxed out your TFSA up to this point, and I hope you have, and if you haven't, call us and we'll talk about that. But come Jan 1, come the new year, you're going to have another $7,000 of room. And if you want to take advantage of that, we're happy to help you do that. We do manage registered accounts all the time. And I say this all the time, you know, because why am I making the distinction? The non-registered account is the problem with regard to probate, because you can't put a beneficiary on that non-registered money at the bank. Therefore, it becomes part of the estate and it becomes probate. Probate, the 1.5% probate fee applies to the entire value of the estate on the date of death. Right. And your non-registered accounts are part of that estate valuation and require probate for that reason. We can avoid that probate problem by doing the transfer to the insurance company, where we can now put beneficiaries on the account, even though it's non-registered, and that avoids the probate problem. Now, I want to be clear. Registered plans can also be probated, of course, if you've neglected or for some reason chosen to not put a beneficiary on the account. And the TFSA is the worst. I bet you half the TFSAs I see, half of them do not have a beneficiary on them. The TFSA is relatively new, 9 years, if I'm not wrong, unlike the RSP, like I said, 1957. I'm not doing the math on that off the top of my head, but obviously been around a lot longer.
86. People are
more familiar with it and more likely to have beneficiaries named on the RSP, although you don't have to, and it doesn't mean there is one. You got to double check this stuff. So this is what's happened, and I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So these two plans, I've described them both individually. They've had a baby, and they've created the FHSA. So you get a tax deduction as if it was an RSP, and you get tax-free growth as if it was a TFSA. And when the money comes out like a TFSA, it is not taxed at that time either. So that means there are limits and restrictions, and I touched on that before as well. So, okay, let's talk about the eligibility criteria first. You have to be a Canadian resident, and you must be of legal age in your province of residence. You must be under the age of 71 as of December 30th of the current year, right? Because remember, you can't have an RSP beyond the age of 71. You have to convert it to a RIF. Which is the RSP in reverse. We've talked about that before. And you must not have lived, this is a complicated way of saying the 5 years I was talking about, you must not have lived in a qualifying home in Canada that you or your spouse owned during the part of the calendar year preceding the opening of the FHSA or during the preceding four calendar years. Why, like I told you, I was reluctant to bring this up, Ted. I get it. Most of our listeners are going to own homes already. However, I'm going to assume that there are kids and grandkids in the picture who don't have homes yet.
Exactly.
So it is Christmas time. And if you're struggling to find that perfect gift for the grandkid who has everything, maybe opening up an FHSA account is something to think about. I don't like saying FHSA account because the A stands for account.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like F, so
it's a little redundant.
It's like your SIN number.
Or the Greater Toronto area. The GTA area.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
The GTA area.
Right. So okay, but you know, listeners will forgive us for saying FHSA account. FHS account. But what a great idea, I think, to open this account. It doesn't cost anything in terms of administration to open the account. Obviously, the cost is your contribution. So if you want to start with $500, and right, people, this will be familiar to people who have made RESP gifts for the grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A lot of grandparents will make an RESP contribution towards the grandchild's education.
Yep.
Well, now you can make a contribution towards the first home. Something to think about. I'll be curious to see how many calls we get on this. And like I said, we'd be happy to do that work. We can do that work. I don't know. I guess you don't need the special license to do this. In other words, I'm assuming you can do it at the bank. I'm not sure about that, to be honest, but I'm going to assume you can. But in any case, why would you want to do it at the bank if you can do it with us, right? We'd be happy to come out. We do have those no-charge consultations that we talk about all the time. Call us, and we'll book something, and we'll help you with the FHS account as well as the other stuff that's going to be probated if it doesn't get moved over to the insurance company. Contribution deadline. It's kind of interesting. The FHS account contribution deadline is December 31 of each year, unlike the RRSP, right? You cannot contribute to your FHSA until the following March 1st. I don't like that they say March 1st here because that's a bit of a misleading as well. But most people will understand, right? You've got March 1st is usually thought of as the RSP deadline. It's really just the first 60 days, January, February. Yeah, the first 60 days of the new year. The government gives you that time to determine whether or not it makes sense for you to make an RSP contribution. So not everybody knows on December 31st how much income they made in that year. You need to get your T4 slips and do some work sometimes. Some people know, I guess, but not everybody knows. And not everybody knows what their tax deductions look like on December 31. So what I'm saying is the government gives you the 60 days. It's not a March 1 thing. It's a 60-day thing. And that's why when there's a leap year, it's not March 1. But it's still 60 days. Hey, is next year a leap year, Ted? Do you know?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't know either. But we can find out. We'll have our crack researcher team dig that information out. Maybe Ian is looking it up right now. Our awesome new producer behind the glass, Ian Robertson, is taking care of us. Thanks for that, Ian. So, yeah, that's what I was saying. The deadline is not the same as the RSP deadline. And why does that matter? Because there is contribution room limits. I mentioned there's restrictions. The amount you can contribute is $8,000 per year. That's the maximum right now. That may change, right? The TFSA limits have changed several times. Well, I just mentioned the new rate's going to be $500 greater in the new year. It's going to be $7,000. Used to be 10. Remember? There was a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was 10 grand, and then the government changed. Was I guess Harper was replaced, and I think Trudeau dropped the limit down from 10 to 6 or maybe even 55. Can't remember. But it's inching its way back up because of inflation. It's tied to inflation now. And I'm wondering maybe the contribution room for this FHS account, it might also be tied to inflation at some point if it's not already. But yeah, so it's a calendar year starting this year, by the way. So if you want to squeeze it in for that Christmas present idea, like I said, you got time to do that for 2023.
And okay. 2024 is a leap year, by the way.
Oh, thanks, Ian. Look at that. That was the voice of Ian, our new crack producer. 2024 is a leap year. Okay, so then the RSP deadline will not be March 1. It'll be the 29th, if I'm not wrong. But it also gets complicated because if it falls on a Sunday, they let you have until the Monday. So blah, blah, blah. It's call it 60 days, rough math. Ted, we're going to go to a break, Ted, and after we get back, I'm happy to say that, you know, the broker is in and Jerome Trail will be joining us. And of course, he's a, you know, the interest rate expert guy on the avoidprobate.ca team. And I'm curious to know what his thoughts are about, in addition to recent interest rate non-changes, I guess. I don't want to steal his thunder. You know, he might have some thoughts on this new account as well.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope there's some interest from our listeners in thinking about this new account. Maybe we help some people with their Christmas shopping, Ted. You know, we take care of everything here on the Avoid Probate Show.
That's right.
We're going to take care of a little bit more. We'll wrap things up right after this next break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this. This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
And good morning once again. This is the Avoid Probate Show. I'm Ted Wallace and Jason Laidler. We invite you each week to join us here, and we invite you to join us on our website. Lots of great stuff happening there. It's www.avoidprobate, one word, avoidprobate.ca. You'll find including a free probate calculator. You can play with that, and it'll give you an idea of how much probate might be payable on your estate. And there's also a button which will take you back to previous episodes of the Avoid Probate Show. So if you're a show that you may have missed because you're out of town or you slept in, whatever the reason, and you want to catch up, you can do that. Or if there's a program that you heard that you'd like to hear again because it sparked interest in something that's going on in your life, you can do that as well. So again, go to the website www.avoidprobate.ca. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, the broker is in. Joining us, Jerome Trail, the Mortgage Trail. Hello, Jerome, how are you?
Ed, good morning. I'm great, thanks. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good. Happy on Wednesday morning to hear that the Bank of Canada decided not to raise the prime on the interest rates, which is good news for those people who are dealing with mortgages that are about to come up, or if you've got a line of credit or your credit cards overall. I mean, it affects so many people. It's not just mortgage holders.
Hey, Jerome, Jason here as well. It's not just good news, though, right, Jerome? I mean, this is a question. I get what Ted's saying, but if you're on the other side, you know, and if you're the lender and you got mortgages coming up for renewal and you want to renew them, you might have been hoping that the rate did get bumped up.
Yeah, well, but that's a small percentage compared to people who are on the other side. And I don't feel sorry for people who own 15 properties and have mortgages on them.
Okay. Well, what are your thoughts, Jerome? Do you share Ted's opinion? Are you neutral on it, or?
I'm kind of neutral on what you two are discussing. My takeaway from last Wednesday's announcement was they went out of their way to tell us that they still had some concerns about the risks of inflation, and that they still remain prepared to increase the rate further if needed. Well, things are definitely headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
Inflation has come from 8% down to, I think, just over 3%. Things are definitely slowing down. So these are the indicators. These are the data points and the metrics that they need to see and want to see. So I found it surprising that they were still so concerned with the glaring evidence that things are headed in the right direction. Now, to Ted's point or your argument, anybody carrying any sort of debt that's tied into the Bank of Canada rate, meaning if you've got
everybody.
Any sort of line of credit or a variable rate mortgage, you are impacted by that. And really your takeaway after last week's meeting was things are status quo until the end of January. It's January 24th, which is the next Bank of Canada rate announcement. Anyway, out of all the economists that have many, many opinions, nobody actually saw the Bank of Canada increasing rates. And so it was basically what the industry anticipated.
And so it would have been priced into the markets as well, probably.
The markets, and that's a different discussion that has more to do with bond yields and fixed rate mortgages. They have started to come down in the last couple of months. We're actually seeing 5-year fixed mortgage rates today right around 5%. When you consider the long-term average is 5.8%, anything around 5%, that's very reasonable.
Yeah,
we're definitely not headed back to the 2% interest range anytime soon, or probably not in my lifetime. But
Can I quote you on that, Jerome?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a young man. Anyway, I don't see us going back to those rate ranges, Jason, anytime. And at the time, we actually wrote some articles that it made no sense to be able to borrow money below a rate of inflation.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Our suggestion or recommendation at the time was borrowers should be locking into the longest term mortgage product they could find when it was around 2 and 3%.
Yeah, it was free money, right? It was you were getting paid to use someone else's money when you factored in inflation.
Correct. You know, we had no idea that inflation was going to go to 8% so quickly. And anyway, but here we are. The Bank of Canada's done their job. We see things going in the right direction, and let's hope that either January or March or April, and those are the next three scheduled Bank of Canada rate announcement dates. Let's hope that in one of those, they're going to start to lower things, because that would really impact the economy and start to pick things up again.
Well, yeah. I hope you're right. I'm optimistic for sure. I mean, we're gonna have clients who are gonna see year-end statements and be very, very happy with the results. And of course, these are clients who took my advice and did not buy a GIC at 2%, or GIC period. I'm sorry, Jerome, I'm not a fan, and I know it's not your focus either. But yeah, if you're right and we see a reduction in the bank's rate and that fuels growth, well, that's going to be good for the markets again.
Yeah, I'm not offended. I would never suggest somebody buy a GIC at 2%. And anyway, interesting to see what people are realizing in the investment vehicles you're putting them in, Jason. I'm happy to hear that they're going to be pleasantly surprised.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to all those thank you cards I'm going to get in the early part of 2024. Jerome, how can the listeners reach you if they've got more questions, want some more information about what it is you're doing over at the Mortgage Trail?
Thanks, Jason. Listeners can find us www.themortgagetrail.com. They can always send us an email, info@themortgagetrail.com. We usually get back to people within 4 hours during business hours. And we're, as we like to say, we're an email, phone call, or text away.
Very good. Okay, well, hopefully we'll talk before then, but come January the 24th, I think you said, it'll be more good news. I think basically part of what the Bank of Canada is doing is they don't want to put people's hopes up too high, just in case they have to turn around and say, oh, by the way, it's not going as well as we thought. So I think they'd rather sort of not throw a scare into us, but avoid people getting too excited about the interest rates coming down.
Hedging their bets.
I think so.
Curbing expectations.
Curbing expectations. Managing expectations.
Well put. Well put.
Thanks, Jerome.
All right. We'll talk soon, Jerome.
Talk soon.
Sounds great. Thanks very much, gentlemen. Have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too.
Ted, I've got time to tell a quick mailbag story. It is the part of the show where we cover mailbag stuff. It's not an email bag event this time. It's a real meeting. We do that, as I mentioned, a couple times already. Please call us and book a no-charge consultation. This individual did that, and I'm going to go through this real quick. I'm going to be vague on purpose to protect this person. I mean, we never name names, of course. Obviously, we protect confidentiality. We're bound by law to do that. And just so you know, we are bound. And that's part of every presentation, the start of every presentation. When we're one-on-one, I explain that it's all confidential, or I'll lose my license. It's that simple. This individual, Ted, it was sad, got a recent health diagnosis that was not a good diagnosis. And so this person is a little bit scared, rightfully so. The details, they're still figuring out the details, the level, the seriousness of this health scare. But this person has several properties. When I say properties, I'm talking about real estate properties. And some children, I won't even say how many, some children are adults, but they're not all adults. So there's minors and there's people over the age of 18, and there's people under the age of 18, and parents. Both parents are still alive, and this person's an only child. So this person really feels, we call it the sandwich generation, right? This person feels the weight of the world in terms of looking after everybody, and this person is motivated, of course, because of this recent health scare. And I don't want that. I don't want that to be the reason people call us, but of course, it happens.
Yeah.
And where I'm going with this, I don't think I've mentioned it yet today on today's show, the Bear Trust. I had to get in there somewhere. So this is my opportunity to mention the Bear Trust is going to be a tool that we're going to use because of the properties that are owned by this individual. When we use a Bear Trust, we can avoid the probate on real estate, whether it's your house or a rental property or a cottage or anything like that, any real estate. It's all of the above in this case. Well, it's early days, but hopefully we've got time. The Bear Trust doesn't take very long to set up. The lawyers tell me they can do it in about 2 or 3 weeks. It does take a little bit of time. There's a bit of paperwork involved, and then the title office is involved. So 2 or 3 weeks, we can set up the Bear Trust, and we can avoid the probate on the property. Of course, we're going to move some of the money that's at the bank today. The non-registered money certainly is going to get moved over to the insurance company so that we can avoid the probate on that as well. But I just wanted to tell that story. Sad case, but we're going to do our best to simplify things. Well, that's what we do. We're simplifying the estate. We are. It's the Avoid Probate Show, and that's what we do. Ted, real quick, tell us about your podcast coming up.
I have comedian Evan Carter, longtime friend of mine. I've known him since the early, early days of Yuck Yucks back in the 70s. He's carved out a successful career for himself. He's got an album out, and we're going to talk about that and play some cuts and just chit-chat. And I think you'll find him to be a very pleasant, affable, entertaining young man. So you can get that on tedwallison.ca. Can't speak. www.tedwallison.ca or wherever you find your favorite podcast.
Okay, yeah. And of course, we should mention the roadshow. We are available to your group, your community, your club, book club, chess club, church club, optimists club, whatever it happens to be. Call us. We will come to you. We'll bring the team. There's no charge for that. We've just received a couple interesting requests to do that, and we love to do that. It's a lot of fun. It is fun. I've got to say a few thank yous real quick. Debbie Stanley, of course, thanks for her weekly update. Ian Robertson, our awesome producer, for taking care of us behind the glass and confirming that next year is indeed a leap year. World-famous Ted Walshman for his decades of radio excellence. Jerome Trail was on a few minutes ago. Thanks to Jerome. He'll be back. I think he's here every other week, if I'm not wrong. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on the Sunday morning. Hope you learned something, and I hope you're going to come back and learn something again next week. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.